Within the span of 8 months, we have now had the results from 4 randomized clinical trials looking all with a very fundamental design of chemotherapy with or without the addition of trastuzumab. And this experience cumulatively now totals over 10,000 patients who've been randomized into these trials, 3,200 from the BCIRG trial that Dr. Slaman presented yesterday, roughly 3,000 from the pooled NSABP and intergroup analysis, roughly 3,500 from the 2 arms of the HERA trial that have been presented. So nearly 10,000 women, plus a few more hundred from the FIN-HER study that you heard yesterday as well. So when you think of the scale of this research enterprise and the size of the sample, it's really quite astonishing when you put it all together. And I'm sure at some point someone will do a meta-analysis, but I can tell you it's not necessary, because what else has been remarkably consistent is that the hazard ratio for risk reduction for adding trastuzumab for HER2-positive disease has been almost exactly 50% in each one of those trials. It's really quite remarkable in that regard. And the other thing that's really been very impressive is the absolute benefit has been incredibly consistent. In the group of women who got chemotherapy alone in all of those trials, the risk of recurrence through 3 to 4 years has been about 30%. And in the women who got Herceptin plus chemotherapy, it's been about 15%. So when you actually step back and look at all these trials in the aggregate, it is astonishing how consistent they really are. So I'm sure the statisticians will knock off a meta-analysis, but it's not really necessary in my mind. So what's new that we can comment on today that people didn't already know? I think that it's worth focusing on the BCIRG trial for a moment, because that was the new presentation. And because it was the 4th study to present, I think the seminal question that we really wanted to look at for that trial was the issue of the chemotherapy backbone, whether or not one could get away without the anthracyclines and use this triplet that Dr. Slaman and colleagues at UCLA had developed, looking at docetaxel, carboplatin, and trastuzumab, as opposed to the anthracycline-based AC followed by docetaxel trastuzumab. And I must say that while the numbers were not statistically significant, it still struck my eye that there is an advantage for the anthracycline-based chemotherapy regimen still. And the trade-off that Dr. Slaman reported is that there does seem to be a very slightly greater risk of cardiac toxicity in the women who got the anthracycline-based regimen by about 1% difference in terms of clinical cardiotoxicity events. But there was seemingly a 3 to 4% difference in the reduction in risk for breast cancer in absolute terms. And actually, I found that quite credible. You know, we know from an enormous number of retrospective analyses that the CALGB started doing 12 years ago and has now been reproduced in over a dozen clinical trials, that women whose tumors are HER2 positive seem to selectively get benefit from anthracycline-based chemotherapy. And frankly, going into this meeting, my concern was that the curves would be so similar between the triplet regimen and the anthracycline-based regimen that people might rush to use the triplet. And I was concerned about that because the comparisons would undoubtedly be underpowered and lack long follow-up, and we do have such a distinguished track record with anthracyclines in this patient subset. So based on that and my sense of the literature, I will certainly continue to use a sequential treatment program of AC followed by taxane with trastuzumab as my principal adjuvant regimen for HER2-positive disease. I think the triplet regimen is very provocative. I think we should continue to look for the maturation of that data. But for the moment, I'm still going to be following patients as they are treated with the anthracyclines. I think the other information that came out at this meeting was this issue of trying to select patients who might particularly benefit from anthracyclines by looking at TOPO2, which Dr. Slaman introduced as well. Some of you may know that TOPO2 is a gene locus that's on the same chromosome as the HER2 gene locus. And so when there is amplification of HER2, sometimes those amplicons, that stretch of DNA that gets amplified, can include the TOPO2 gene. And what Dr. Slaman showed was that it is those patients whose tumors are particularly enriched for TOPO2 that seem to selectively get benefit from the anthracycline-based chemotherapy. So I think that is a provocative finding and, again, fits with a very long preclinical and clinical literature. But for the moment, it is not a test that is commercially available, nor, frankly, one that is commercially necessary, because I think that most patients should still get the anthracycline-based, trastuzumab-based regimen. And so I don't think you need to worry about running home and ordering that test in order to help make for better treatment decisions for you and your patients. It's been a great year for research. I think that as we start to stratify patients into HER2-positive and HER2-negative, we are now left with a pool of HER2-negative breast cancer patients, and we actually need to go back and ask some very fundamental questions of how best to take care of these women. Do we really need anthracyclines or taxanes or dose-dense strategies or other novel adjuvant treatment interventions in the cohort of women that are HER2-negative? And that's a very important question once you begin to appreciate that we are sorting out the patients and we'll treat the HER2-positive women in one fashion and the HER2-negative patients in a totally other fashion. So that's my initial impression of where we're at with trastuzumab adjuvant trials, and I'd certainly open it up for any questions or comments.